The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. The prophet Isaiah foretold a child who would be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. In him, the weary find rest and the broken find healing. Hope is not a fragile wish, but a confident trust in God's promise.
We light this first candle as a reminder that hope is the heart of Christmas, for Christ is our light in the darkness.
May this light help us prepare our hearts and minds for the coming of God's Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. May we receive God's light as we hear the words of the prophet Isaiah. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9:2-6.
Let's pray. Lord of hope, shine your light in our waiting. When the days feel long and uncertain, strengthen our faith in your promises. Fill us with courage to live as people who carry your hope into the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
We've had our first snow, and everywhere you look, you see signs of Christmas. The lights are twinkling. Anybody else put up their Christmas tree? Okay, about half of us, maybe more than half. Christmas trees are just popping up everywhere. The Christmas music is blasting. I think Mariah has officially defrosted again. We've had eggnog already in our family. You just see candy canes, Christmas trees, like the signs of Christmas are everywhere. It is the most wonderful time of the year. And that's what's great about being in the Midwest, isn't it? That we get four seasons. Just when one is finishing, you're ready for the next one. I keep telling people, I'm like Humpty Dumpty. I had a great fall. And I'm ready for winter. I'm ready for the Christmas season. So this morning, we're starting a brand new sermon series, our Advent series, as we lead up to Christmas. It's called The Heart of Christmas. And so over the next 4 weeks, what we'll do is prepare for this high celebration as we reflect on God sending his son, Jesus, his one and only son. And we're going to talk about each week then what is really at the heart of it all. Please note, before we get into the teaching of God's word today, please note, we will be having a Christmas Eve service this year. So this place on Christmas Eve, December 24th, it's happening at 4 p.m. So mark your calendars for that. We would just absolutely love to have you and your family make that a part of your Christmas tradition this year. Come and join us for Christmas Eve. It'll be an hour-long service from 4 to 5. This is a candlelight service. We're going to have a Christmas play. We would just love to have you join us for that. Also, to that end, we do have little flyers at the Connection Center that are like an advertisement for the Christmas Eve service. You can take one of those and put it on your fridge at home, or even better yet, use that as an invite for some friends or relatives or neighbors. In fact, we have plenty of them, so you can take as many as you want to hand out, pass out, however you see fit. But please, plan, if you're able, plan to join us for Christmas Eve and invite others to do so as well. I think if we're honest with one another, as Christmas season sort of begins now, if we're honest with one another, we can say, this is a crazy time of year. like our schedules get just a little bit hectic and a little bit wild between the decorating, the shopping, the cooking, the parties, the annual family photo that seems to take 37 tries because you put the camera on the tripod and you pressed the button and then you ran back to the group and you all smiled, but then Aunt Edna was blinking. Like, it gets pretty crazy. And in this season, I think we can lose sight of what really matters, that it's a time that's meant to point us to Christ, but it can quickly become this marathon of exhaustion and distraction. And that's why this morning I want to begin with this good news, that hope is at the heart of Christmas. Because hope is what anchors our souls. Because hope is the thing that reminds us that even when life feels uncertain or dark, God's light is still breaking through. That's what we're going to talk about together this morning. So my name is John. I serve as lead pastor. Grateful to be with you, thrilled that you're here with us, and I pray that as we study God's word, he brings us closer to his heart. I think all of us could use a little extra hope this year. I mean, I'm mindful for the families in our midst, our church family, who they've had losses this year. They've lost loved ones, and this is going to be the year of firsts. Like Thanksgiving was first without, and Christmas will be the first without. I think we could all use a little extra hope this Christmas. If you want an example of what hope looks like, just take a look at a child during December. Just look at a little one as they anticipate the coming holiday. Just sit down with a kid and say, hey, make up your Christmas wish list. In fact, my son Elijah came to me recently. He handed me this beautiful handwritten list. It had, I don't know, several things on it that were his wish list for his Christmas gifts. Now, our kids know when they offer a list such as that, it's not that they're getting everything on the list, it's just that's helpful to Mama and Papa as we consider buying them gifts. So he realizes it's not he's going to get everything, but it's just helpful as we are considering what to get him. So I'm looking at Elijah's list. He's 9 years old, and just great ideas. A pocket knife, a board game, a watch. Great suggestions. I also notice the list said a phone. Okay, so Elijah, I don't want to be the bearer of bad news here, but that ain't happening. He has a teenage sister who doesn't have a phone. He's not getting one. That's a bit of a reach. But right next to phone, it said stickers. And then I noticed also on the list was malted milk balls. And here's what I realized. It doesn't matter the size of the gift. It doesn't matter the price tag. It doesn't even matter how pretty it's packaged. It's just the hope of good things that are yet to come. That's hope. Things great, things small. And that's really the childlike hope that we all long for, that the Holy Spirit instills within us. The confidence that something good is on the way. And that's what Christmas is all about. Hope is at the heart of Christmas because it's not about what's under the tree. It's about who was laid in a manger. There are prophecies, of course, about Christ and his birth. One of them is in, many of them are in Isaiah. In fact, a number of years ago, we did a whole Christmas Advent series on Isaiah, the gospel according to Isaiah. But this is hundreds of years before Jesus' birth, and the prophet Isaiah wrote about these promises of, well, we heard them this morning. We heard a few verses. We'll look in more detail here in just a moment. Of a nation walking through deep darkness, and yet he declares a light is coming. So let's open our Bibles this morning to Isaiah chapter 8. Part of the reason I thought this was so fitting, we've just concluded a study in the prophet Hosea. And Isaiah was a contemporary. In other words, this is the exact same time period. Let's turn in our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 8. Near the end of the chapter, we'll go to verse 19. That's where we'll begin reading this morning. We will read through the end of chapter 8, and then we'll continue on into chapter 9 through verse 7. And I'm reading from the NIV. It says, when someone tells you to consult mediums and spiritists who whisper and mutter, should not a people inquire of their God? Why consult the dead on behalf of the living? Consult God's instruction and the testimony of warning. If anyone does not speak according to this word, they have no light of dawn. Distressed and hungry, they will roam through the land. When they are famished, they will become enraged, and looking upward, will curse their king and their God. They will look toward the earth and see only distress and darkness and fearful gloom, and they will be thrust into utter darkness. Nevertheless, going into chapter 9 and verse 1, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by way of the sea beyond the Jordan, for the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, a bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle, every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire, for to us a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. And the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. So again, I think we understand something of the context based on the fact that we just studied Hosea. But I'll just remind us, it was a time of spiritual decline. People who were steeped in idolatry and walking away from the Lord. Now, Isaiah, I should say, was primarily called to minister to the southern kingdom. So that would be a difference. In Hosea, we were talking about the northern kingdom of Israel. Isaiah was primarily ministering and prophesying to Judah, the southern kingdom, which lasted a little bit longer than the northern kingdom. But even there, the people were weary. Their kings largely, mostly corrupt. Their faith was failing. And we have this beautiful prophecy that one day a child is going to be born who's going to make all things right. And of course, you and I know, we can read Scripture through the lens of Christ. We know that that promise was fulfilled that night in Bethlehem, the Christ child laid in the manger, and the world has never been the same. Why? Because hope shines brightest in the dark. And you heard the description there. I won't exhaust these verses. We're going to keep moving this morning. But you heard the description of so much distress and gloom and suffering and heartache and people crying out in desperation. This was a dark place. Isaiah's world was a very dark place. The people had wandered from God. And yet it was just into that darkness that God gave this promise. A great light will dawn. That's the thing about light. It pierces the darkness. It shines brightest in the dark settings. We have been eating, like, at our Thanksgiving dinner and stuff, we had a very nice spread with, like, decorations on the table and candles. So we used candlelight. Well, the Reisner kids like to blow the candles out and relight them and blow them out and relight them and all that. You hardly notice that the candles are on when you have every other light in the house and the light gleaming in the windows. But you certainly notice once it's dark and all the other lights are off when those candles are lit. They're piercing the darkness. That is just a small illustration of hope. That flicker of hope. That light that shines brightly, that hope shines brightest in the darkness. And listen, hope isn't a denial of the darkness. It's the declaration that it's not going to win. It's not denying the hurt and the suffering and the pain and the realities of what it is to be human. It's saying it's not going to have the victory and the last laugh. Just like as in Isaiah's time. I don't think we have to look very far to see darkness and spiritual decay in our world as well. We have conflict, we have fear, we have depression, we have loneliness, we have pain. We have it in our own lives, and we certainly see it in the lives of others. And sometimes it feels like the world is just falling apart. Sometimes even as compared to previous eras, it feels like the world has gone mad. To which I would say, isn't that exactly where the light of Christ shines most brightly? Where there is uncertainty, where there is darkness, like right in the middle of the mess? Hope reminds you this morning. I want to remind you this morning that God is not done writing your story. That you are here today, that you have breath and life and hope today because of Christ. So you can trust that He is still working. Because, again, I'm mindful, maybe this Christmas finds you in a difficult season, one where you are grieving or lonely or waiting or weary. Hear this good news today. The darker the night, the brighter the light will shine. Second thing that we can draw from this passage is that hope shows us that God is near. Like, he didn't just shout his love from heaven. He showed up in human form. He didn't send a memo. He sent himself. He entered into our brokenness. In fact, I want to turn in our Bibles and switch to Matthew chapter 1, where we have this description of, you know, the angel tells Joseph that Mary is pregnant, like that the child she carries is indeed, well, Emmanuel. So if we look, just keying in at verses 22 and 23. This good news that Mary is with child, and exactly who he is and what name he shall be given, the name of Jesus. And it says that all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So again, that's the heartbeat of Christmas. As we talk about hope this morning, the hope is that we are not alone, that the Lord has come near to us, that God is with us. He took on flesh. Light broke into the darkness. When Jesus was born, he wasn't wrapped in royal robes either. He was wrapped in rags. He didn't come to a palace. He came to a stable. So when our circumstances seem lowly or challenging or unglamorous, he gets that. He's lived that. And really, Christian, that's what Christian hope is all about. You know, I think sometimes we get confused on hope because we use it as this, well, I'm just hoping for, and it means it's probably not going to happen, but it might. But Christian hope is with certainty, with conviction, based on the promises of God. So it's not wishful thinking. It is deep confidence that God is near, even when life is hard. I mean, think about the people of Israel. They wait centuries. We have a hard time waiting 2 weeks for the Amazon package that got misdirected. They waited hundreds and hundreds of years for God to fulfill his promise. Do you suppose they started to wonder, like, has God forgotten us? Well, we know they did because we have the scriptures. In their waiting, in their weariness, but God came through. But God showed up. God kept his promise. Hope. Well, it's been said, hope took its first breath in the manger. The fulfillment, we should say, the realization of hope. So I want to encourage each and every one of us today as we hear this good news about hope. It's not just this wishful thinking, it's this certainty and this confidence that we can experience in this season, no matter what we're walking through. If you feel abandoned, he is there. Have hope. If you feel anxious, he is with you. He is present. Have hope. He is close. If you're feeling exhausted or weary, like, hear the cry of Jesus to come unto him, to take his yoke, to learn from him. So I'll say it again, the hope isn't found in what's under the tree. It's found in who was laid in a manger. And you don't have to have it all together for God to meet you where you are. You don't have to have it all figured out. He just comes right into the middle of your mess when you call out to him, when you look for him, and you sense him drawing you to himself. You sense, and I hope we hear it this morning, even as we hear from God's word, that he is saying, I am with you. I will not leave you. Look to me. I will strengthen you. Because here's the other point that we want to make this morning, that hope shifts our eyes to Jesus. So very simply put, the world's condition is darkness. Christ is the light of the world. We need hope. If you don't see your need for hope, if you don't see your need for a Savior, then we pray that God would open your eyes, that you would be cured of your spiritual blindness. Because that's a spiritual arrogance. That's a comparison game where I kind of look at my life and I go, well, I'm a little better. I'm a little more righteous than that person. So maybe they're a sinner who's going to be in trouble, but I'm better than them, so I must be okay. Rather than beating my breast and saying, oh God, have mercy on me, a sinner. We've all done wrong. We've all sinned. Lakota did a great job of explaining that just last Sunday right in this place. But hope has this way of shifting our eyes to Jesus, the one who came, God incarnate. A realization that hope is near in the person of Jesus, that hope came to rescue, that hope is the light that will overcome the darkness. And our response then, of course, is to have hearts filled with faith, eyes that are fixed on Jesus. If we look at a verse from Romans chapter 15, I want to take us there in verse 4. Here's what the Apostle Paul says. He says, everything that was written in the past was written to teach us so that through the endurance taught in the Scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. Sometimes we're like, I don't know about reading the Old Testament. I don't know about reading the Bible. I kind of already know those stories. I heard them in Sunday school. Well, here's an encouragement to say, look again. And for many, it will be a New Year's resolution. This year's going to be the year that I actually stick with my Bible reading plan. Or let me just have one. I say to that, yes, absolutely, I'm for that. But let me just say this. I've said it before, but I'll say it again. Don't wait until January 1st. Do it today. What's today? November 30th, I think. Do it November 30th. Don't just say, well, I attended a worship service this morning. Use time this afternoon, this evening, to open God's Word, to read the Scriptures. Don't say you'll do it Monday. Don't say you'll do it in January. Do it today, and then do it the next day, and then do it the day after that. That's my encouragement. So I'm for getting hyped up and excited about reading the Scriptures. But this verse in Romans 15 helps us to kind of grasp onto that. Like, everything that was written in the Scriptures are written, why? That we could have endurance and encouragement. He's saying, look back, remember the promises of God. Look back, remember what he has done. Remember the stories of God. And in the Scripture, but also look back in your own life and recall what God has done for you. Into your journal, into your family's story, because it gives you strength for today, it gives you confidence for tomorrow. Hope just has this way of changing what we focus on. It shifts our perspective, our view from the chaos that is around us, and it helps us to fix our eyes on Jesus, on Christ, who is the light of the world. Let me close this morning with a story. It's a true story. About an elderly woman named Stella. Stella was struggling. It was her first Christmas alone. She had lost her dear husband just a few months prior. It was several days before Christmas. There was a big blizzard. I mean, she was practically snowed in, and she was feeling blue, depressed. And she had boxes and boxes of Christmas decorations and a Christmas tree. They were in the basement, I think, in boxes. And she said, I'm not getting those out this year. What is there to celebrate? That afternoon, as the story goes, there was a knock at the door. Doorbell rang. There's a delivery man. He's carrying a box. She says, come inside from the storm. And he steps in, and he opens the box to reveal a golden retriever puppy. He says, this is for you, ma'am. It's 6 weeks old, fully trained, housebroken, just the cutest little thing. She says, who sent this? The delivery man hands her an envelope. He says, it's all explained in here. The dog was bought last July by your husband. It's a Christmas gift for you. He suspected that he wouldn't be with you. He had cancer. She, of course, opens the letter and begins to read this note from her dear husband. He had written it about 3 weeks before he died and that had sent it to the kennel and with instructions to deliver this note with the puppy at Christmas time. And the letter is just full of love and encouragement. So amidst her tears, Stella picks up that fluffy little fur ball, just buries her face. She held it close. When she tells the story, she says that just that moment, She had the radio on, and Joy to the World began playing. She felt anything but joyful. Joy to the World begins playing on the radio, and she says she had the most amazing sensation. She said it washed over her, and she said it can only be described in one word, and it was hope. This sensation of hope that washed over her from head to toe, and she said it was way stronger than my loneliness. It was way stronger than my grief. And she clutched onto that furry little friend, and she said, "Hey, I know you're not going to be much help with this, but we're going to decorate for Christmas." It's a true story that she tells. So, of course, she pulled the boxes out, and she decorated for the holiday. I share that because I think that's a good picture of hope. Not that we're all going to have that sensational experience. God used that puppy. God used that one simple note, that beautiful gesture of kindness from the husband. But that's what hope does in each of our lives, is that it lifts our eyes again. It helps us to realize and believe and claim that the story isn't over. And again, it does not erase our pain. It just reminds us God is still good. God is still in control. God is still with me. God is still for me. God is present. God is still worthy of my trust. God alone is my refuge and my hope. What good news that light is more powerful than darkness, that God is more powerful than our spiritual adversary, that he will win the victory, that we already have the victory in Christ and what he has done on the cross. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Yes, absolutely. I hope you have seen the great light as well. His name is Jesus. And I just want to encourage each and every one of us today to know there is a God in heaven who cares for you so much that he sent Jesus, his one and only son, who died on the cross. That if you believe in him, you will not perish. You will have this beautiful, wonderful, amazing, free gift of eternal life, salvation, and hope. Listen, do not miss Christ this Christmas. Don't ever forget, Jesus is the resurrection and the life. See, because as I mentioned a few minutes ago, even though we've all done wrong, we've all sinned, he offers forgiveness when we repent, confess, and turn to him. So as you look to him, as you put your faith in him, he will see you through. And one day when this life is over, he will welcome you into eternal glory with all those saints who have gone before. So this Christmas season, when the world tries to pull you in all sorts of different directions with the shopping and the stress and the endless to-do list, I would encourage you, take a moment. Do it today, and then do it again tomorrow and the day after. But take a moment to reflect and to remember even these good things that we've learned this morning from Scripture, that hope shines brightest in the dark, that hope shows that God is near, that hope shifts our eyes to Jesus. That's the heart of Christmas. And we praise God for it, even as we walk this out through every season, knowing that he is Emmanuel, the God who is with us. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, how we thank you for the good things that you are doing. And Lord, how we confess that we've been blinded at times, that we've failed to see your presence, your blessing, your plan, your path, your way. Lord, we've grumbled and complained. That we've put ourselves in places like despair and anxiety and fear and uncertainty and doubt. Lord, I pray that you would fill us with hope. That we would have a certainty and a knowledge that the prophecies of old have come true. That the Christ child born in the manger was indeed the Redeemer, the Rescuer. And Lord, that means hope and life for us today, here and now. Lord, I again lift up to you those who are grieving and hurting and lonely. And I thank you that you are with them. And I pray that you would help them, Lord, in things great and small. Help them, O God. Strengthen them. Encourage them. That they would lift their eyes to Jesus. And in so doing, know the salvation that only comes from him. So, Lord, thank you for your word today. Thank you for this good news. Thank you for Christmas, God. Thank you for this season that's filled with wonder and awe and childlike hope. We pray for it in our own lives, Lord, that you would be the one to get the glory as you continue your work. We pray it would be all for your sake, Lord, for your kingdom, that others too might hear and know and believe this good news of Jesus. And we pray it only in his name. Amen.